Welcome to the Simply Authentic Podcast with Angie and Tanya. We are real estate pros, entrepreneurs, leadership gurus, and community enthusiasts. Our passion is sharing our experiences to enrich the lives of others. We hope to inspire you to live authentically. Welcome back to the Simply Authentic Podcast. I'm Angie Mullings.
And I'm Tanya Murfin. And it's March of 2025. We decided to go back and reflect on 5 years after COVID in March. So we have had several different guests on this month talking about what it was like in their position and just having their reflection as well as ours. We thought it would be interesting to analyze the market and what happened in the marketplace in 2020 after COVID set in. And around here, we've said this before, we were deemed essential, thank God. And so it was business as usual for us on steroids with some crack cocaine involved in it. We don't do drugs. We're not promoting either.
No. Advocating drugs, no.
Yeah. So, Angie, I'm going to start this by saying, and you'll probably laugh at this, that we were coming off of a 2017, 18, 19 market that was pretty normal.
Yeah.
Right? There's no normal any longer.
Normal we've is a relative term.
Yes. If we've learned anything since COVID, there's no normal in real estate.
Right.
At all. Period. No. So, but we were coming off what would have been just a normal selling season in 2019. We jump into 2020, March in particular. I believe I said on March 26th, shelter in place was was issued by the Springfield and Greene County areas. So all other areas kind of followed suit. And we started probably June-ish, I'm going to say. We started a 2020, 21, and 22 real estate market sales that has never, ever been experienced in our area. And I'm going to go a little further to say nationwide.
Right. Yeah.
So tell me, getting started in, you know, the 2020 year, tell me some of your memories of what happened with writing offers with buyers and sellers, and maybe we break it down separately. With listings, what was happening, and with buyers, what was happening, and then how did that escalate in 21, 22?
Right. Well, as if you listen to our first podcast this month, we talked about how it took a while for everybody to get back to sort of doing things, but we were doing things that weren't normal. But we learned how to have closings remotely and do electronic signature, do a lot of people were doing video with their clients, FaceTime, that kind of thing, and all these things. And we had a lot of buyers who couldn't travel here to buy a house. So they were buying houses sight unseen. So I would say in general, you hit the nail on the head with saying it was like, I don't know, I've never done coke, but I'm just saying it was like being on, you know, the biggest high ever. People would stop me and say, oh my gosh, you're in real estate. You be, should be, you guys are selling houses left and right. You must be so excited. And I honestly looked at them and said, I hope we never experience a market like this again, because while it was frantic, it was so awful.
It was so stressful.
We were doing things that we didn't want to do, but and trying to advise our clients the best way we could. But we're going to tell some stories about how long it took to find a house for someone. Those first-time home buyers, those are the people who really lost out during those years. And that's why I hope we never experience that type of market again. I don't mind being busy, but I don't like my clients having to not get an inspection, inspections.
Right. Yeah. So tell some of the things that we were writing in offers.
So in order to get a house, you had to make your offer we always, when we sit down with a buyer, so let's take that buyer side first.
Right.
When we sit down with a buyer, we're always advising them on how to make their offer look better,
sure,
right?
You bet.
Do they really need closing costs paid by the seller?
Right.
I always ask my buyers, you're going to pay for it one way or the other, right?
Yep.
Do you need help now?
Right.
Or do you want to get the house for the least amount of money? Because
yes.
you can't really have it both ways.
Right.
Most of the time.
Do you need to keep that cash in your pocket?
Exactly.
Or are you okay with bringing an extra $5,000 closing costs to closing, and then
right.
you get the house $5,000 cheaper?
Yeah.
Which is it?
Exactly. One way or the other.
Right.
But that's something we always do.
Yes.
When we were going through this in the frenetic times that we were in, we were asking them, we were telling them that in order to get the house that they wanted, mm-hmm. they might have to do an escalation clause,
mm-hmm.
meaning offer $5,000 more than the top offer that they had gotten.
Right.
So escalation, I'm willing to give you, you know, if the house is $300,000 and you get an offer that's $305,000, I'm willing to go $5,000 over that.
Right.
That's in layman's terms what an escalation clause is.
Correct.
Yeah.
We were writing in appraisal gaps.
Right.
So if the house, a $300,000 house, if it only appraised at $280,000, but you were paying $300,000 for it, you were saying, I have the $20,000 extra mm-hmm. out of my pocket
mm-hmm.
to bring in and overpay essentially for that house. And we had that, I mean, that was common practice. That
right.
was super common.
Right.
Hence how we got into an escalated price point on all of these neighborhoods and on housing.
Right.
But we can go into that a little later.
Yeah.
Other things that we were putting on a buyer's
contract. Yeah, wave of inspections. So I've always been a big proponent of doing an inspection.
Always.
I don't like for my buyers to buy one without. But in order to get the house, they had to consider waiving an inspection.
Exactly. And you're talking about first-time buyers. If you're dealing with a fifth-time buyer or an eighth-time buyer, you know, they've had eight houses all across the country,
mm-hmm.
and you can walk through the house and make a pretty good assumption of what kind of care has been mm-hmm. given to this house. You already know it has a new roof, has new HVAC, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
That wasn't as concerning. It's mm-hmm. our first or second time buyers who just have never done this before, maybe. And now you're having to say, okay, you're going to have to buy this to win this offer. You're going to have to waive inspections. Are you
mm-hmm.
comfortable with that? Well, they don't even know how to be comfortable with
right.
that. They've never bought a house before.
Right.
So for you and I, we were so uncomfortable with that.
So uncomfortable.
But that was the reality of them actually getting into a home.
Mm-hmm.
And first-time buyers were really missed out. And as you said, had to go time and time mm-hmm. again to look at houses and to write offers. And it really got exhausting.
It did.
It really got disappointing, discouraging. You know, the mm-hmm. buyers already thinking, well, I'm never going to win this one. It looks better than the last one did. I'm never going to beat out 10 other buyers.
Right.
And many, many times they did not.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we were writing all of these things into these offers for our buyers. And also, urgency was terribly uncomfortable. So let's say the house hits the market at 8 a.m. on Monday, and your buyers can only look at houses on Wednesday night or Thursday night because of their work schedules or family schedules.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, it's gone.
Yeah.
It's sold in the first 4 hours, potentially.
Yeah.
Like the amount of urgency and the number of showings on the listing side that the listing agent was having to schedule. Like, I remember scheduling in 15-minute increments
mm-hmm.
to be able mm-hmm. to get in to see it. So you were
right.
going in with your buyer, and you were having to run through the house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you were like, okay, look at everything you can, take notes, you know, write them down. We'll all compare when we get outside. Because there were four realtors standing outside in a row waiting
to get
in the same house.
It was like a block party sometimes, right?
Yes.
They were just, and we'd get tired of waiting. We'd get out of our cars. It was
crazy.
The sense of urgency to, and that's something that, you know, when we work with our clients, we're always preparing them, right? We're always setting the
yes.
expectation. So yes, I would say for my buyers, I would say you have, if something hits the market that you're interested in, you need to figure it out.
Yep.
We got to go that day. Yep. And I'll do my best to be available. But if we've got to go on your lunch break, or, you know, we got to go before you go to work, or whatever the case may be, and you might call to get that appointment to show that house, and they might say, well, I've already got it, 2 o'clock, at 2:15, at 2:30. Can you go at 3?
Yeah.
You know, you had to kind of work that in.
Yeah.
And buyers, bless their hearts, you're right, maybe 15, 20 minutes to look over the largest investment they're going to make. And,
exactly.
And they're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars, and that's the time frame they've got. I was telling Tanya before we got started that I remember specifically a conversation I had with Whitney Schaffner in her office, and I had taken this first-time buyer out to look at a house in Clever, and we were there, and it the same day it was listed, so we were there on the same day. We were driving back. They had met me there, so they were in a separate car. We're on our way back to the office. We're going to write this offer. Mm-hmm. I call Whitney, and I said, I'm going to write an offer on whatever it was. And she said, that's great, but I've already got an offer, and I've got to respond in an hour. Mm-hmm. That meant that her offer that she had, the realtor had given her an whatever it was, maybe 2 hours to respond, mm-hmm. and she only had an hour left in that time frame to respond. So if my buyers still wanted to consider making an offer, we had to have it to her within an hour.
Yeah.
First-time home buyer spending hundreds of thousands of dollars, have to make a decision with a walkthrough that they took 20 minutes in the house. Yeah. We get to the office. I'm waiting for them to get there. I've got all the paperwork ready. They walk in. I said, if you want to make an offer, we've got to make it like now. I've got to have this paperwork finished and over to Whitney in an hour. And we made it. We didn't get the house.
Yeah.
So that's why I said, it was just so stressful for everyone.
For everyone. So let's talk about the listing side of it.
Yeah.
Because it was something that we've never seen. Now, we're professionals. We like to do our job a certain way. Mm-hmm. We just had a podcast on in February about getting your house listed and the things that you should pay attention to. And you know, we ran down a list of all the things to consider before you list your house and us going on a pre-listing appointment. Mm-hmm. Well, there was no reason for a pre-listing appointment. You
right.
showed up the same day with your paperwork, with your sign, and we have time limits on signing paperwork and getting it into our multi-list. Mm-hmm. But we weren't having to go to all of the trouble, I'm going to say trouble, and expertise that we typically do.
Right.
Because there was such low supply of homes that you knew this house in this neighborhood at this price point was going to sell in 1 minute. Mm-hmm. So there were a lot of new realtors that came into our industry in 2020, 21, 22, and they did not have to learn how to really polish skills. They stuck a sign in the yard. They had a realtor R behind their name, and away they went.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of non-due diligence done. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah.
But from the listing perspective, you just prepared your seller for what it was going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to be available to answer offers today.
Right.
You know, the day it goes live.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to know where you're going and how you're going to get there. Mm-hmm. Because here was a problem.
Yeah.
You had a listing and you had a seller who knew they could get X amount over what they normally would get for their house because they were in the right neighborhood and it was darn cute, or it was, you know, you just knew that it was going to sell like a hotcake.
Right.
You were going to get 10 offers on it. But where were they going?
Yeah.
So that was the problem for sellers. And I remember having a lot of those conversations and a lot of people being in a, like, can you live in your camper for 2 weeks or a month or 6 months?
Mm-hmm.
Can you move in with mom and dad? Because I'm going to sell this in 1 minute.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know where you're going.
Right.
And those offers were the closing time. Sometimes you would have less than 30 days to get out of your house.
Right.
But you got top dollar.
Right.
They didn't do inspections. They weren't going to do an appraisal.
Yep.
So can you be out in 30 days? You bet I can. Let's go. We're going to move in with mom and dad. I mean, we all had tons of scenarios like that.
Tons. A lot of people who didn't think they wanted to move again, moved. I was one of those.
Agree.
I sold my house during 22 just simply because I could get top dollar. A lot of people went to an apartment rental. That's what I
You're
did.
Right.
I had nowhere to go. There was nothing for me to buy, which is, let's back up for a second, because what led to all this is, you know, we had this slowdown, and we were already experiencing a less inventory in 18, 19. I mean,
right.
And
yeah.
It all
it
came
started.
To a head
yeah.
in 2020. And then all of a sudden, the interest rate, we're going to talk about that in a little bit, the interest rate dropped. So everybody wants to buy. And there's this lack of inventory that has been building since, you know, pre-recession. Pre-recession, this all kind of ties together. Pre-recession, we had a building boom
yes.
everywhere
yes.
across the country.
Yeah.
Then a lot of those builders got out of the business. They may have lost some houses during that time. So we didn't have the builders who were building during 14, 15, 16.
Right.
So it just all came to a head.
It really
so
did.
So you really had this, the low of the low inventory, mm-hmm. the low of the low interest rate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what spiked the housing, the pricing in our market mm-hmm. to you know, what it was and why people were selling, even if they didn't really have to, mm-hmm. because they were going to get top dollar and they'd go live in an apartment. So our apartment, that's why you saw all these apartment buildings
exactly.
popping up, is
yes.
because everybody needed an apartment. And storage units were going up
yeah.
crazy gangbusters
yes.
because everybody needed a storage unit.
That's right.
So, but when it came to sellers, something that I would do, and many realtors practice this way, we would plan when we were going to list the house. So we wanted to list it on a Friday so you could get the most amount of people in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were looking at multiple offers.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, we're going to list your house. It's going to go live at noon on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Go away for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Go away for the weekend. Mm-hmm. We'll put on the listing that you will consider all offers on Sunday at 5 or
mm-hmm.
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that house would be shown. And I said, and you just need to know that you are going to have 25 people through your house in the next mm-hmm. 2 days.
Yep.
So it's just best if you're not there,
yep.
pack up your dogs, your kids, everybody, and just get them out of the house and just let me schedule showings 15 minutes apart
yeah.
or 30 minutes apart or whatever it
yeah.
was. So that was what we were doing. And
mm-hmm.
then looking at those offers, and we were doing spreadsheets
mm-hmm.
because I remember having 23 offers or 20 offers.
Mm-hmm.
And you would do your spreadsheet saying, okay, just so your seller could understand it all.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
they're used to looking at one offer at a time, but they've got to consider, you know, who's asking for an inspection, who's
right.
waiving appraisal, who's doing escalation clause, all those things we've talked about
yep.
so that they can. And that was the time that who you were doing business with really
mm-hmm.
made a difference too,
right?
Right? If you have 5 offers that look the same,
mm-hmm.
my next question was, who's doing the loan?
Mm-hmm.
Is it somebody I trust, or is it an online company that, you know, we
mm-hmm.
we have very little contact with?
Mm-hmm.
But if it was a local lender, that local lender was probably going to win out.
Mm-hmm. And I think that you mentioning that, I think that that's a good point to make, that those years really fortified relationships,
mm, yes,
right?
Yeah.
And they really taught us that if you've got 10 offers on the table and 4 of them are very close to each other,
mm-hmm.
we would compare lenders, we would mm-hmm. compare the realtor on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And let's be honest, everybody mm-hmm. has... that's in any kind of business, you've had a good or a bad relationship or experience with somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
In your same industry. No different in real estate.
Mm-hmm.
We have good and bad experiences with
sure.
realtors. We have good and bad experiences with lenders.
Mm-hmm.
And so your seller is relying on your expertise and you to be honest with them
mm-hmm.
always and to say, you know, I just had a horrible experience with this lender. They couldn't even bring the loan to closing. We had
mm-hmm.
to switch lenders, and this lender brought it to closing just fine. There, you know, the issue that this lender had, the other one didn't have at all, and here's why.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we could give a million examples of that, but it really was important, the experience you and I have had in leadership And something we have said many, many times, being a proponent of being involved mm-hmm. and networking with your fellow realtors, with mm-hmm. your fellow lenders, and getting to know people really, really came back to benefit in this right. in these times. And that's not to say that Angie and I are pushing one offer because we know the other realtor. We are just giving information mm-hmm. so that the seller can make their best decision. And whether they go with our recommendation or not, that doesn't matter.
Right.
It is their decision in the end, because they have to make a decision based on all of the information mm-hmm. and what works best for them. The money, the timing, closing date, those sorts
all
of things.
Those things, yeah. You know, Tanya, also during that time, I remember an agent in my office, you know, a lot of people have Ring doorbells now, so they can watch how a buyer
responds
and looks at their home
yes.
and what they say.
Agree.
And I remember specifically one deal that my agent did that the decision was made based on what someone said that they could hear in their
Had
Ring
that
doorbell.
Happen too.
Even today, you've got to be careful what you're saying in someone's house, because someone might be recording you, might be watching you. You just don't know. So that really was, I think there were 20-some offers on that particular house. And she said, I want to know who the person was who said XYZ mm-hmm. while they were standing in front of my house. Mm-hmm. And they're not getting my house.
Yeah.
So she didn't even want to look at the offer.
Yeah. And that still happens to this day. Mm-hmm. An agent in my office had that happen recently. And some buyer made some smart aleck comment on the Ring doorbell and called the agent and said, if those people write an offer, I will not sell my house to them.
Yeah.
So that just became more and more common, because if you've
Absolutely.
Got 20 showings in a day, and mm-hmm. that was not unheard of,
yeah.
then the seller is, you know, seeing a lot of people come across that Ring doorbell, mm-hmm. and it was just one more thing to kind of temper.
Right.
All of this to say 2020, 21, and 22 were tremendous years in real estate for our sellers mm-hmm. and for realtors, for real estate companies. We had numbers like we've never had before. Mm-hmm. It was an amazing time to be in the business, but it was also one of the most stressful mm-hmm. times to be mm-hmm. in the business.
Yeah.
And we worked night and day. We were, you know, you having 20 offers on a house is a blessing, but it is a ton of work. I mean, mm-hmm. a ton of work. And to try to keep it straight,
yeah.
I remember in 24, I had, you know, that house mm-hmm. that ended up having, I want to say, 16 offers on it.
Yeah.
And we are not in that market anymore, but it was that house. You know, there's yeah. a house every once in a while that has that.
Right.
And I lost two offers and Madden, and by that I mean with the chaos of scheduling showings mm-hmm. That went on for 2 days mm-hmm. and then getting all of these offers sent, Madden was like, oh, Mom, you're missing, you know, Susan's offer mm-hmm. that came in. I mean, I needed other eyes on it, because yeah. you're getting so many text messages mm-hmm. and she was managing showings while I was getting other text messages from agents that knew me that were like, hey, I'm showing at 12. Let me know if you have any other offers.
Right.
You know, blah, blah, blah. It was just so stressful in those years. So
yes.
we, yeah. as professionals, don't love that chaos.
No, we do not.
And we knew that could not withstand very much more time.
Right.
So what happened at the tail end, I want to say it was in August of 22, mm-hmm. rates started to rise. Mm-hmm. And I brought a 30-year fixed mortgage rate. And these are the average mortgage rate in the years that the past 30 years. And it's just interesting to kind of go back to. So I want to say to begin with that, I can barely see this, Angie, that in 2009, our lower interest rates go back to 2009. So mm-hmm. following the recession.
Right.
Right. And so until I really looked at this, I didn't realize that in 2009, they dropped to 5%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was mm-hmm. a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was following the recession.
Yeah.
And interest rates followed that recession they stayed in the threes and the fours from 2010 until 2020. Mm-hmm. So let's go to 2020. And it was, the average mortgage rate was 3.10. So if you were a really, really good buyer and had great credit and low debt, then you probably got less than 3.1.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
In 21, so we hit COVID and they're at 3.1. 21, they fell to an average of 2.96. So I have several people who have a 2.7 interest rate, right?
Right.
Then in 22, the average was 5.34. So in August of that year, they started to creep up, and they went up quickly.
Yes, they did.
Quickly.
Yeah.
In 23, the average was 6.81, and it was in 23 they went up to 8. Okay? So that makes sense that the average was 6.81. So it's doubled. It's more than doubled from 2021.
Right.
And then 24 ended with 6.72. And so now 24, we really ended up in the sevens a lot, low sevens.
Right.
And then ended at the 6.72. And now in 25, we're kind of around that same mark of probably 6.8 to 7.1 right this second is where they're kind of averaging out. So what has what has changed with our buyer pool?
Well, here's the thing. One of the hardest things that we do as realtors is advise people as the market is shifting, right? We're that's part of our job. We have to be on top of what are interest rates, what are what you know, when we were going from 20 offers down to 10, down to 5, down to we're lucky to get one or two. That's when the general public has a really hard time adjusting, and it's hard for us to keep up with those things.
Right.
Once it kind of settles out, like it is now, we're in 25, and, and it, we kind of know that, this year interest rates are probably going to fluctuate between 6.5 and 7, somewhere in that ballpark. And we know that while we might have a outlier who gets 4 or 5 offers, most of them are just getting an offer at a time. It's more back to the normal, if you will.
Yes.
And it's really, really hard to advise clients on pricing during that time because we've talked about, you know, my neighbor down the street, they sold 6 months ago, a year ago, and they got 20 offers and they, you know, got $50,000 more than you're telling me my house is worth now and that I'm not going to have those multiple offers. It's very difficult. And it's difficult for the, because the average consumer just knows those kinds of stories, right? My neighbor got this and they got it in X amount of time.
Right.
And they're not attuned as much as we are to what is going on in the marketplace that we can see that it is shifting, because we have access to all the tools we have access to. We can tell when things start to shift.
Right. In 23, those conversations were really difficult. And our days on market started to increase.
Right.
So in 23 and 24, and those years selling wise were very similar, numbers-wise, very similar.
Yes.
Because interest rates were already 6.5 or higher, right? So we learned to really start having different conversations.
Right.
We, as the professional, are always looking at that data that you mentioned, and then we're having to teach our agents that, and then go into our listings preparing our clients for that data. And I can really recall in the last 2 years a good 60 days changing your conversation.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Of whether it was days on market, whether it was interest rate. So 1 point in an interest rate makes a huge difference in the buyer's pool and the buyer's payment. So what one could afford in those 2020, 21, 22, what they could afford payment-wise, Now it's double,
right?
Right? Because you double that interest rate, you have doubled their payment. Mm-hmm. So if their payment was going to be 900 something or 1,000 in 21, well, now it's 2,000.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a huge shift in our buyer pool.
Absolutely.
And so what that has done in 23 and 24 is it has cut out a lot of our first time buyers.
Yeah.
A lot of our first time buyers have now had to wait. Mm-hmm. They're renting longer.
Mm-hmm.
They're having to get a down payment from family,
right?
Which is great. Well, you know, I fully support that, but not every first-time buyer has that luxury.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they've got to save money longer, and that takes time, right? Mm-hmm. Can you remember being 26 to 34 trying to save $1,000? I mean, it can take half a year to save $1,000. You know,
right?
So our market has changed in that those first-time buyers are now older.
Yeah.
You know, the 22 and 24 year olds, unless they get help with that down payment, they're having to wait longer. They're having to rent longer.
Right. So, you know, if you look at that in total, first time home buyers have been struggling since 2020 because first they couldn't get an offer on a house. They couldn't get one accepted because, you know, a seller is going to look at a cash or a conventional offer generally before they will look at an FHA. So they're going to weed things out based on the loan type and how much assistance you might need, strong you look.
Yep.
So those first-time home buyers are they're struggling for a different reason now, but they've been struggling for over 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, and I was talking about my nephew-in-law, that's what I call him, which is what he is, but he started looking in 21. He wanted to buy a house. He didn't actually get to buy a house until 24.
Wow.
So, or I'm sorry, it was 23. It was late 23. But still, in that 2 year time, he went from buying by himself and then he was going to buy with his brother. And then he and my niece got engaged. Mm-hmm. So then they had the two incomes. But that's what can happen. You know, when you're younger, things happen pretty quickly. You're getting married, you're having babies, you're, you know, that kind of thing. And yeah, when he first started looking in 21, he was probably quoted an interest rate that was 3.5 or something like that. And they ended up paying in the sevens for their house when they finally got it bought. But so it has been a struggle, and I don't see that really changing much for first time. I mean, we're getting more used to it now, right? Mm-hmm. It's again the norm. We know that over the last 30 years, the average interest rate has been 8%, a little over 8%. Mm-hmm. So to get a 6.5 or a 7
is still lower than 30-year average.
And let us just say this, if you think you're going to get a 2 or 3 or 4 again, it's not going to happen. Not in our lifetime.
I don't think
we're not going to see it again. So we have to get more accustomed to what is the normal, and that's probably what the normal is going to be. We'll always see fluctuation.
Yeah.
But honestly, if you talk to people that bought, you know, a lot of people bought their first home. Our parents probably bought their first home and paid, you know, 14, 15, 18%.
Yes.
So, you know,
crazy
six amounts. And a half, if you look at the overall, is pretty good.
Well, and one thing that I will say that now coming into 25, that 23 and 24 have corrected our crazy market.
Right.
Our first-time buyers and all of our other buyers as well, but this usually hits home more so with first-time buyers, is now they can write in getting those closing costs paid.
Yes.
They do have more time to look at houses. So many of the first-time buyers I've worked with in the last 4 months, we've looked at a lot of houses.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't feel pressured to write an offer in an hour. After we saw the house, we had several days to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
We have had time to say, you know, I those three really didn't interest me.
Right.
You know, so the days on market on a listing and the more normalcy of the market has really helped our first-time buyers to have a chance.
Right.
And to be able to find the house that they really want and maybe not have a competing offer going against them. So they actually get to make an offer based on their needs.
Right.
And then wait for the seller to respond on their needs. And it's more back to business as usual for us, you know.
Right. And those buyers, you know, again, setting expectation for those buyers. Now they, you know, they get their inspections. They don't waive appraisal as much, that kind of thing.
No.
But one thing I've been telling all my buyers now is that please keep in mind, you're going to have an inspection. But if that seller bought during the frantic time of 22,
right,
they probably waived inspections mm-hmm. to get that house. Mm-hmm. So if you're buying a house from someone who bought during that time, they likely waived inspections, and they don't know mm-hmm. if there's an issue with their house.
That's right.
So when you go in to get your inspection, I don't want my buyers to think, oh my gosh, the seller's hiding something.
Yeah.
They didn't tell me that there was water in the crawl space right. or there was a problem with the roof.
Right.
They probably don't know or didn't know because right. they waived that inspection.
Yeah.
So let's all go into this with an open eye and know that your inspector may find defects that the seller has no idea are there.
Mm-hmm. And the other side of that is going, if you're going to sell your house and you bought it in 20, mm-hmm. 21, 22 as listing agents, we're going to have that conversation and say, okay, did you have an inspection when you bought it? Mm-hmm. And if they didn't, we may recommend getting a pre-inspection or
right.
let's at least get the two things that are least or more likely to have problems and you're least likely to have been on or in your roof and your crawl space. Mm-hmm. Let's get those two things looked at before you go on the market.
Right.
Because you could have problems down there you don't know of. And we have that with people who've lived in a house for 20 years. They don't mm-hmm. go in their crawl space unless
right.
they know there's a problem.
Right.
We don't know there's a problem until you go down there.
Right.
Nobody wants to go down there.
Right.
So those are the conversations we're going to be having with those sellers that bought in the 2021, 22 era. Mm-hmm. Now we need to go back and look at, make sure that there are not problems before you list.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, Angie, as we start to wrap this up,
yeah.
2025, again, we'll reiterate, they're forecasting, and obviously you have no idea if that forecast is going to come true or not.
Right.
But probably
right.
rates are going to stay in the sixes, mid mm-hmm. sixes mm-hmm. to upper sixes, and you can expect that. Days on market with listings is somewhere in the 40 range right now. Now, in the spring and summer market, that'll probably come down just a little bit, tick mm-hmm. down. Mm-hmm. But over average, we're experiencing 30 to 45 days in most of our marketplaces. Have the pre-listing appointment with your realtor, call mm-hmm. and have them come in and walk through the house ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a buyer, make sure you ask your realtor for any recommendations going into this. You know, do they recommend you ask for closing costs to be paid?
Mm-hmm.
And closing costs have went up because mm-hmm. taxes have went up and insurance have went up.
Yes.
So what we used to ask mm-hmm. for maybe in a 4,000 range is now 6,000 in closing costs expected on a normal house. So just make sure you're asking all of those questions ahead of time.
And I do want to highlight, you mentioned insurance. The insurance industry has really taken a hit
yes.
of late. So I'm really cautioning my buyers who are trying to buy a house where the roof is 15, 20 years old, because you may not be able to get insurance on it, or it might be that they're only going to give you a small percentage if you have to replace that roof.
Right.
So
yeah.
just be cognizant. I think it's better to talk to your insurance agent in advance mm-hmm. as much as you can to kind of get the lay of the land as far as what that particular company can and will do. Some companies have even pulled out of the state of Missouri in terms of insurance. So
yeah.
it really is kind of a sticky point right now. So be sure that you're checking that out.
Yeah, agree. Yep. Well, as we wrap up, we want to thank Gershman Mortgage for letting us record with them. And we encourage you to share this episode with a friend. If they bought a house in 2021, 22, it's kind of crazy to think about how those years have come and gone now. And so send this to a friend, share it with them, and like and follow us on our social media.
As always, we want to thank you for spending time with us. We really appreciate the following and the listens, and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye. Find today's full video by searching the Simply Authentic Podcast on YouTube. Hit subscribe, and there you will find full videos of every episode.